return of the Bonanza After Party, the midweek extension show. So happy to have you alongside Nicholas Hodel, Nick Keneally. Alongside, it's been a long while actually. Something feels like something we could have done a lot earlier.
Yeah, it's been a minute since the last After Party episode, regular season, right?
Yeah,
had to have been.
Yeah, I mean, we started just doing everything within the first week of March. Daily kind of dropped off a bit, but I mean, we could have done this a lot earlier. Just all the madness of the transfer portal. I mean, it has already gone off to just crazy numbers. Over 1,300 players in the transfer portal. And later on this week, over on our website, I'll have a Bonanza Chronicle for you. First time I've had that in a while. Hopefully that's a little more consistent since the offseason. Going with my top 30. But we'll discuss the top 15 right now over the course of the next half hour or so. And the first spot, Hunter Dickinson. It almost has to be Hunter Dickinson. We're talking about the most prolific player to ever hit the transfer portal, in my personal opinion. A guy who has become an All-American within his time at Michigan, kind of stepped off, not just really because of him, but because of the way the team has been as well. And amongst all the big men at the Big Ten, Hunter Dickinson has become one of the best of them.
Absolutely. I'm 100% sure that whichever team is able to land Hunter Dickinson, they are going to be set for a deep run in March, because obviously it's not just a team has to pick him up. He gets the active decision to choose where he gets to go. He's not going to put himself on a team that he doesn't think he can, you know, make a deep run with. He had 3 years at Michigan, and especially this last one where they were poised for greatness and that really just didn't happen at all. He's going to be wary. He knows what type of system he needs, and he's going to have almost every single school that needs a big hitting his line. I mean, he's at the ultimate advantage, especially in this NIL era. He can get whatever he wants. This is the biggest transfer I can imagine ever.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a former All-American in 2021. This guy has all the goods, improved his rebounding, and all three of his years at Michigan are maintaining steady scoring. Particularly from last year to this, and he has just done an unreal job. And if he stays in the Big Ten or goes outside the Big Ten, he will shine no matter where he goes. I personally have Kalel Ware in the second spot over Max Asmus for a few reasons. I think the limit is so much high, not necessarily higher, but so high for Kalel Ware. Just got stuck behind another beast named Nfale Dante. But Kalel Ware really got a chance to shine in Portland in the Philadelphia Invitational with 18 points against UConn, 9 boards against Michigan State. And both of those were near double-doubles. I mean, UConn also had those 9 boards, I believe. Just really an outstanding freshman who rode a bench for a lot of times. If he would have been in a starting role in a lower team in the Pac-12, he would have lifted them up to a really good level. Not necessarily NCAA tournament level, but a good level. Because I just think what he has done in a bench role, over 6.5 points per game, nearly 4 boards a game, if he goes down to a lower team in a power conference, he's going to pick up his production in a hurry.
Oh, I fully agree with you here. I mean, in some games where he did get his opportunity to shine, he did. I mean, you're talking about 18-point performance against UConn, 16-point performance against Montana State. He was able to step it up in games where he got those types of minutes. And, you know, he even made ESPN Sports Center with that big poster dunk earlier in the season. I can't remember which exact game, but, you know, his name has made headlines before because he is such a prolific big. I mean, so athletic with his long frame. He is going to be great for whichever team goes on and picks him up. I mean, the ceiling is so high. He really shined in his first year, and I'm really excited to see where he goes, because I know that wherever he does go, the scoring, the rebounding is going to be off the charts for him.
Yeah, he is going to be one of those players that excels at his chosen destination, and certainly one of those players that, you know, when he does commit, it's going to be big, big news. And also keep in mind, we're recording this on a Sunday night, so not necessarily everyone in the portal could still see another high-profile name or two enter the portal within the next few days as well before this comes out. This is where I have Max Asmus at the third position. The Oral Roberts star, he will be scoring just fine at the Power Conference level. One of those players, I think, is a very similar prototype path-wise, not necessarily skill-wise, to Baylor Shireman. He can go into one of the best teams in the country and perform and produce at a high clip.
I mean, yeah, you know exactly what you're going to get out of Max A. Smith. You've seen it with Oral Roberts from the last couple years and, you know, in those few tournament runs where he is just one of the prestige, the premier scorers in the country. Those types of difficult shots, the shots he can create for himself, he's going to get that on whichever team he ends up on. You can't imagine that he's going to keep up that sort of amazing scoring night in and night out for you, because he's going to face much more advanced defenses. But, you know, those highlight performances where he might go off for maybe a 25, 30-point performance, and that's something that you could expect out of him at the Power Conference level. And more importantly, he could provide you some of that scoring where you kind of need it as a more of a support role. Obviously, I don't think he'd be a star player on a contending Power Conference team. But if he goes to one of those top teams, if he goes to, you know, a Houston, they seem to be loading up as, you know, a starter that can go out there and give you, you know, X amount of buckets every single night, that's perfect. That's exactly what he can do as a scorer.
Could be probably a shorter Barry Rice kind of role for mm-hmm. someone. I mean, that's the kind of player he is. It's a really good bucket. For me, LJ Cryer comes in at the fourth position. He has really improved over the course of time, improved to become an all-Big 12 player this past year, but his chosen destination, Houston, is where he becomes even more valuable, because Houston will have their first adventure in the Big 12 next season. And LJ Cryer, to me, becomes a player that can give Houston the ropes on how to manage an absolute gauntlet of a conference. I mean, you really don't know what it's like until you've been through it. I think LJ Cryer will go in there and provide a much-needed learning lesson to Houston on how do you play in the Big 12 night in and night out.
Absolutely. I mean, Cryer, he was on that Baylor team that went to the national championship and won it back in 2021. While he was more of a bench player, and the next year he stepped up, improved his points per game by 10, you know, jumping up to 13.5, really came into his own. And especially in this last year where, you know, he was getting buckets. I mean, shot 41% from the three. He was hitting shots from everywhere. He's going to be an extremely valuable player, not only for Houston with the shots that he's able to create and the defense that he can play, but you mentioned that off-the-court leadership ability that he can bring you. 3 years of Big 12 experience coming to a team that's going to be in their debut year in the conference, that's going to mean so much for Houston. I mean, in a team that's really excelled in the American, they've been that premier team in the conference for years. For them to make that jump and adding on a type of player like Cryer, that's going to be insurmountable. That's going to be so huge for them. That's one of the best moves that they could have made in this offseason. Major props to Houston, because this pairing right here looks like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and I always thought Houston would be fine in the Big 12 anyway. You add a guy who's been through it, been through the grind, and all conference player at that. I think it only really picks them up as a really, really good program in the Big 12 for years to come. Ryan Nembhard comes into my fifth spot here. This is, I think, the biggest surprise. Not necessarily Hunter Dickinson, but Ryan Nembhard. Just for how much he's meant to the Creighton program, I find it pretty surprising that he would go to the portal. And let's keep in mind, too, Tommy Lloyd has a big advantage here, having recruited Andrew Nembhard back in the day when he was at Gonzaga. Could he possibly pick up Ryan Nembhard as well, get him to Tucson?
I mean, that would definitely be something to look out for. I mean, you mentioned the immediate impact he had for Creighton in his 2 years. He averaged about 12 points per game both times around, and the opportunity to be coached by the coach that coached his older brother, Andrew Nembhard, who's currently now in the Indiana Pacers, you know, balling out in the NBA. That's the kind of opportunity that you can't really pass up. You know, you've seen what he's done for your brother, and that has to be, you know, an exciting prospect. Definitely where I expect him to go to. I mean, he had a great time at Creighton, you know, really was able to make his way through the Big East. And the sky's the limit for him, really. I feel like any team that's looking for a certified scorer should be calling out Nembhard's number, because this is a great player here.
Yeah, and Arizona needs that point guard, too. We'll talk about that situation in a bit. Tremont Mark at my sixth spot going from Houston to Arkansas. And if you want the proof of how good Tremont Mark can be in the SEC, look no further than the second round game for Houston against Auburn, where he put up a career high 26 points with 9 rebounds and a very efficient shooting night to go along with it as well. 9 of 17 from the field and 8 of 9 from the line. Just one of those players who has become a really talented role player off the bench for one of the top teams in the country. He goes to Arkansas. Could have a very similar role, which I think will serve him very, very well. He might get a few more starts, but, you know, an opportunity to go to the SEC. You'll take it all day.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw what he provided as a wing for Houston, kind of 10 points per game player. He provided some defense, some rebounding at moments. And I think this move to SEC for him is going to be good. Obviously, Houston now moving into the Big 12, so it's going to be two of these, you know, big power conferences regardless, but what he's able to bring to that Arkansas program is, you know, something that they might be missing next year. Obviously, you know, they had a really talented freshman duo in the backcourt last season, you know, where Nick Smith and Anthony Black decide to do next year. I'm not 100% sure, you know, whether they stay at Arkansas, what their roles will be, if they go to the league, which, I mean, both of them are league-bound. I don't know if there's any confirmation if they've committed to the draft yet. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I mean, his role, I think it would stay the same regardless as this kind of off-the-bench wing scorer. Excited to see what he can do for Arkansas, surely.
Yeah, he'll be a great addition there to Eric Musselman's team. It's already loaded. You add him to the mix. That's going to be a very, very talented Arkansas team once again. To go over to Harrison Ingram, put in 2 very solid years at Stanford. Was a Pac-12 freshman of the year. Put in pretty darn good numbers again for Stanford. Certainly a big opportunity lies for him as his pretty solid contributions in the Pac-12. You know, I don't know if this is the kind of player that you can put in a starting role at most power conference spots in the country. But I think for Ingram, you get a really good athletic guy here. And you really get an opportunity to see him rise some more at the college level.
I mean, yeah, this was a top 20 prospect only a couple years ago. You know, excelled in his freshman year with Stanford. And it seemed like he's kind of plateaued, you know, really similar performances through both of his years with the Cardinal. Maybe looking to progress his role, maybe get more minutes at another school, maybe looking to take a bench role for a contending team. You know, we'll really have to see where he goes with that. But he can bring a lot of scoring to a team at his, you know, 6'8 size. The athleticism that he can bring to any squad is certainly going to be valued. So very interested to see in what Ingram is able to do.
Yeah, I think for Ingram, if you obviously go down further in the power conference, I think all it takes is one big year from him, and he's probably going to the draft. I think that's all it really takes. I think he has that kind of talent, and if he just popped off at a near major level, maybe like an A-10 score or something like that, I don't think he'll go down that far. I think he'll stay within the power conferences, because that's where he deserves to be. He deserves to be at that lower team in a power conference, maybe even middle of the pack, trying to get into the tournament. But he's certainly a very, very good talent. Let's move over to Ace Baldwin, my number 8 guy, the defending A-10 player that will be able to defend it. He's up to Penn State. And you get a combination of defense and scoring that is unmatched, that was unmatched at the A-10 level this year. He is going to be one to really watch out for at Penn State.
I mean, you look at an excellent two-way player here, top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating in the conference this season. And, you know, he really brings it as a 6-foot guard. You don't necessarily look at that frame and expect that much defense out of him, but, you know, he brings that sort of intensity that would be valued at any school. You know, you bring him to Penn State, which was a school that really popped off at the end of this season, and the sky's the limit for him here. I really think he's going to fit into this system really well, and I'm excited to see what he can do, especially here, because, you know, you've seen flashes of greatness, obviously, A-10 all-freshman, A-10 all-defense, 2-time all-A-10 player. He won the Conference Defensive Player of the Year this year. He is going to bring so much to Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely. And another Conference Player of the Year from Conference USA, Tyler Perry. This is going to be one of those guards that everyone wants to go after. He is a tremendous player. His scoring was fantastic in Conference USA. Had a really good time. Not necessarily assisted, but a couple of those per game on average. But his just overall package was really good. His main thing was scoring, which he did in bunches. But just the way he was also to do it, really through the NIT, I think gave a really good idea of this might be the good move for him to transfer out of North Texas, try to get into a power conference level. And I think he's a guard that he'll be able to get a big opportunity. Undersized, can be a big scorer off the bench, and that can be a big role for some power conference team needs filling.
Yeah, well, I mean, in his freshman year with North Texas, he won the Conference Sixth Man of the Year. While averaging 13.5 points off the bench, he can, no matter where you put him in the rotation, there's one guarantee with him, and he's going to go out and get buckets. So if anybody is in need of that sort of player, kind of a spark off the bench, Tyler Perry should be at the top of their target list because he is an incredible talent.
It feels like a lot of those kinds of players in this portal class this
year. Such a talented class.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of those players in the portal are sparks off the bench. But one of those that will not be off the bench was Kira Kresa. He is going to West Virginia, and it's an interesting move for him. He's a good ball distributor. He's a great ball distributor, actually one of the best in the Pac-12. Just in the last several years, he's one of the best ball distributors the Pac-12 has seen within the last like 5 years or so. He goes to the Big 12, goes to West Virginia, hoping to take his assisting talents with him. One of the big issues I see with him, though, he's not necessarily a great three-point shooter. Can certainly have his moments, but really the games I saw him in Las Vegas wasn't really that. I mean, he just wasn't. He's really better at a limited three-point shooting role. He has had plenty of those nights where he has gone off, but did not get too many of those throughout the course of the year. Had several. But just wasn't in the cards for him most of the time. 6'3", 190 is an interesting size. He could have some trouble against Big 12 defenses, and he may have to take another step up while at West Virginia to get the same effectiveness out of him as he got as Arizona got out of him in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily completely fond of this move for him. Obviously, you know, he had inconsistencies on offense this year for U of A. The facilitation abilities are going to go with him wherever. He just has that kind of eye for the game that it isn't really matched by a lot. But in terms of, you know, offensive prowess, his bag isn't very deep. But what he does bring you, he can play make. He's going to be that type of, you know, energetic, sparky, scrappy player. You know, you saw it in the conference tournament. You saw it in the national tournament. He is quite the fiery player, so he's going to bring that sort of intensity to the Big 12. That is one thing that's for certain. But in terms of his scoring abilities, I don't know about this move.
Yeah, I think he's better placed in a facilitation role to some really good shooting guards. I think that's something Bob Huggins will have to figure out quite quickly within the course of non-conference play to make sure that team is propped up, ready to go for the big time. We'll just have to see where that ends up going. I don't think either of us are totally fond of it, but again, for Kirk Kresa, it's a good opportunity, I think. And he is going to have to become a complete guard against some pro prospects. Don't know. Is he capable of that? I'm not sure.
I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of necessarily his offensive bag. I think it's very limited, so I think he's going to struggle in the Big 12. He could prove me wrong. I mean, and this sort of change of environment is maybe what his kind of career needs, because it seemed like he's kind of plateaued at Arizona, if we're going to be completely honest.
The scoring, definitely.
So that could be what he's going for. He's betting on himself, taking risk, but I don't think that bet's
going to
cash.
Yeah, we'll see how that ends up going out. That could be interesting to see play out. For Caleb Love, my number 11 guy, off to Michigan from North Carolina. Really was a leading spark of a North Carolina team that really just shattered every big disappointment you could possibly have for a preseason number one. Just an awfully, yikes. year from North Carolina compared to expectation. He is off to Michigan. He provides the Wolverines very good scoring ability, has some rebounding ability for a pretty solid guard as well. His three-point shooting took a massive dip at about 6% year-to-year. That will really need to pick up again if he's able to make a big impact in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, he played a very, very major role in North Carolina's huge tournament run in 2022. Obviously, they weren't able to finish out their job as Kansas won that tournament, but it seemed like last year, you know, his scoring role was certainly there, but he wasn't making the kind of waves that, you know, he was projected to. I mean, he was being looked at as definitely a lottery sort of talent in the league, and that name for him has sort of fallen off. So I, similar to Creasa, where I think he's kind of starting wanting to rejuvenate his name. Obviously, his offensive bag, it's going to translate with him. He is just a prolific scorer. So I definitely think that's a different situation there, but in terms of making a new name for himself in a brand new system, you know, Michigan has Hunter Dickinson on the transfer portal. There's no guarantee that he's going to be playing there. Love is probably going to be the main guy. I mean, him, I don't know what their plan is with, you know, the rest of their team, Jalen Llewellyn. So this is probably going to be Caleb Love's team, and, you know, the expectations are going to be high, but I think Caleb Love is going to be able to live up to that sort of thing. I don't know if he's going to be able to lead them to any sort of team success, but in terms of individual prospects, I think that this is the right move for him in terms of increasing his player stock.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you go on to someone who needs to rebuild himself completely. Shaquille Wheeler, the number 12 spot, have really missed out on the end of the year due to a medical procedure and a right ankle injury. But when he did play at Kentucky, kind of off this year, for being honest with myself. Had a couple of those kinds of years now with Kentucky. Certainly is still a fantastic talent. Undersized at 5'9", right? He is still a fantastic talent. And certainly one of those guys who can distribute the ball at a very elite level. And I think that if he's able to pick up his scoring again at his new destination, he's going to be a really talented guy that's able to give a complete point guard type feel to him if he's able to get that scoring back up.
I mean, he's a two-time All-SEC type of talent for a reason. You know, once at Georgia, once at Kentucky, because, you know, he's going to give you that sort of play style that he showed you before. You know, very solid scorer. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I don't expect him to necessarily stick around in the SEC. So whether he takes a role at a smaller school, try to get more minutes up, you know, obviously he's going to have to be rehabbing that ankle in this offseason. We'll see how that all that goes. But definitely an interesting future for him, to say the very least. There's a lot of question marks here, but I mean, the ceiling is definitely high for Wheeler. It's just, can he get back to that sort of level that you were seeing, you know, in his last year at Georgia, in his first year at Kentucky?
Yeah, that's going to be a big question mark for him health-wise, but the potential was undoubtedly there for him. How about Jameer Nelson Jr.? Delaware to TCU from him. He'll get his shot in the Big 12 after a prolific season in the Colonial, I should say. And really throughout his time at Delaware, 2 years there after 2 years at George Washington. And he took absolute advantage of the opportunity. 20.5 points per game going into a game against Northeastern in March. Had an assist-to-turnover ratio in the positive. That's a first for him in his college career. Maintained a rebounding level around 5 rebounds a game. His defense took another step in the right direction as well. And he certainly got a decent free throw clip behind him. Took a little bit of a step back in his three-point percentage compared to last year, but really most of his increased scoring came from a lot more opportunities at the free throw line, where he was a 77% shooter on 89 more attempts than the 21-22 season. So Jameer Nelson, pretty darn good scorer, has some stuff to work on to get comfortable at the Big 12 level, but even if he's off the bench as a sixth or seventh man, he provides some really good scoring options.
Absolutely, you know, you saw it here in this last season with Delaware. His attempts in the field, his attempts from the free throw line increased. So, you know, he jumped from a 13 to a 20 point per game score. And he's a, you know, Colonial Athletic Association all defensive player. So you know, the abilities that he's, you know, obviously going to bring to TCU are valuable, as he can get it done on both ends. To see what he's able to do in a power conference, we'll have to keep a keen eye on that. But you know, I'm you know, looking out for the, you know, the best for him. I really think that he's going to succeed, jumping up. The strength of, you know, his opponents weren't necessarily the strongest so far in his career. So, you know, it's a, you're going to have to be wary of this jump, but I believe in him. He's shown through the last couple of years that he is a premier scorer.
Yeah, he is certainly going to be an interesting prospect to see how he turns out at a power conference. J.J. Starling, one of the first major commits of the portal season, going from Notre Dame to Syracuse, and provides the Orange a lot of potential. Had just over 11 points per game before missing some of the final games of the year for the Irish. And you see a guy who needs to pick up his three-point shooting, but really provide a lot of potential as a highly talented recruit coming into college, and an opportunity lies for him within the ACC to do something special.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's been a, you know, all freshman for Notre Dame. His scoring was definitely there, not necessarily from beyond the arc, but within the paint, he was able to really score well as a guard. And this sort of jump to Syracuse, you know, one of historic in the recent history, a great, great program that they have there. So I think that this is the best move for him to really up his personal stock. I think he's going to be able to really learn well in that system. And this was a great move for him. You know, you can't be mad at this sort of move. And, you know, making it early on in the transfer portal season, making that sort of wave, it's, you know, this is big for him.
Yeah, that's certainly a big opportunity for him there. And then Aaron Estrada rounds up my top 15 over guys like Jaden Bradley from Alabama, Khalif Battle, Sky Clark, also a couple of major names, and Taron Armstrong and Denver Jones. But Aaron Estrada gets the nod from Hofstra, and he was a bucket at Hofstra. I mean, one of those players, probably the best player in the Colonial. I mean, I know Charleston had all those great players combining together the team, and Aaron Estrada, his prolific shooting, it was really good, provided good rebounding contributions, had just over 4 assists per game. That is remarkable going into the second round of the NIT. That was remarkable to see out of him. Provide some good defense. You could probably get the three-point percentage up, but I mean, close to 37%, that's not bad either.
I mean, yeah, he was huge. Obviously, 2-time Colonial Player of the Year. This was a season where Hofstra was looking to make the tournament, obviously fell short in the conference tournament, so they had to play in the NIT. But Estrada really was able to excel this year. He upped his scoring, especially, you know, the move already going to Hofstra was great for him, as he was able to take on such a role. But, you know, down the stretch in the conference tournament, 22 points against William & Mary, 25 in that loss against UNC Wilmington. He steps up in those sort of big games, and excited to see his future. Obviously, you know, I want to see him go, you know, play maybe on a lower team in a power conference, to get his name out there. Maybe try to make another run to a tournament, because this is a great, great scoring guard here. I mean, he's a national talent that, you know. I think next year is the season where he starts to get recognized.
Yeah, he really should be getting recognized now. I mean, 80% from the line is pretty solid. Close to 50% from the field for a guard like Estrada. He provides all those big bullet points and provides them at a huge, huge clip. Again, for the rest of my top 30 later this week, you'll want to keep an eye on your Twitter at College Bonanza. We'll tweet that out as soon as that is live over on our website. And again, this coming Sunday, we'll provide the first of the weekly shows that'll get you right up to speed on everything within the portal for the previous week. And it's going to be a lot. It's going to be an awful lot. So make sure you stay tuned next week live on BlazeFairyOnline.com for that. For Nick Healy, I'm Nicholas Hodel. Have a good rest of your week. We'll catch you on Sunday.